Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
There. Good morning once again. We will be having communion just in a few moments. We're going to get into the Word. The Word today is all about just freedom, free to be a slave. That's the emphasis that we're taking a look at. That's the title of the message. I know that word slave doesn't sound so appealing to us, but recognizing we have to serve somebody, isn't it true? Like that old song from Bob Dylan, you have to serve somebody, you have to serve somebody, maybe the devil or maybe the Lord, but you have to serve somebody. And we're recognizing this, it's sure wonderful to serve a God who loves us and continues to pursue us. And I like the fact, too, our great nation, aren't you enjoying the freedom we have? We have people that still want to come into America. They are looking for freedom. It's so attractive and appealing to people. They come by the boatloads over the centuries to want to see themselves free for freedom of worship, freedom of religion, freedom from tyrannical leadership. They still are coming into America. People are looking for freedom. You and I are enjoying that freedom. So glad for that. Sometimes it's kind of important for us to remind ourselves, especially with regards to just this Thanksgiving season, like, Lord, thank you that I'm in America. I like where Emma Lazarus, who's an immigrant herself, a Jewish immigrant, pinned these words, and it's placed right there on the placard, the pedestal of the Lady Liberty, right there in Ellis Island. These words say, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuge from your teeming shores. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And people continue to say, wow, we want to come in and experience what you and I are enjoying. Not only is there a freedom that we have in America, but there's a freedom spiritually too. And you can see on your notes, there is a level of freedom that is better than political, social, or any kind of freedom, and that's freedom from sin. So we're going to be taking a look at a wonderful message that Ainsley brought us last week with regards to the changed lives of the Reformation, and that how even in Romans, those reformers started to see that, man, we are free. Free by God's grace through our faith, saying, I believe it's through the work of Jesus. But now he's going to be taking a look at some things here in Romans chapter 6, where I invite you to join me. You can see on your notes it's 12 through 23, but I'm actually going to start at verse 1, taking a look at those elements of freedom. And that we want to enjoy those aspects that God has provided for us. Continue to walk that out. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for just the element of reminding ourselves where our freedom really comes from. It's through Jesus and your love for us. And so, on this occasion, Lord, speak. Lord, address and direct this service and this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to let you know I'm reading from the New King James rendering. You who are watching live, you can join as well, whatever. You can listen to my reading of the word. I'm just going to start at verse 1 of Romans chapter 6. Once again, Paul is saying, because we are receiving these great truths of what Christ's atoning work has done for us, how are we going to live that out? In other words, isn't it something because we get a chance to be free spiritually? And we know that we are enjoying things here right now. We have things still in the heavenlies we're going to experience, but that transformed truth is going to be enacted by our conduct. Let's take a look at verse 1, Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. And how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us as we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but that the life that he lives to God. Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And verse 12 is where we pick up our text. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that through you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the wickedness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your faith to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. End of chapter 6. When we look here, we see our first point. What have we been set free from? Master, bondage from sin or from self, letter A and B. When we look at that for a moment, we talk about a master because we actually have two forms we can approach. God set us free from our own sin and from ourself. And he takes this as the apostle is writing. He's talking about that element of slavery. And you may want to write down Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 12 through 18, and take that into your life group. Because he's recalling that occasion in the Old Testament when a person was so impoverished they could not pay their debt. And in not able to pay their debt, they could then work off that debt and become what was called a slave. Therefore, they would work that debt off for 6 years and then on that year of Jubilee be set free. But at the end of those 6 years, if that person and that slave would naturally serve justly and also fairly be treated that way, so it wouldn't be something that was going to be something that was really harmful. They were just working off their debt. But at that end, if that person who was working as a slave said that, I love my master, I don't really want to be set free, then the law and scriptures in Deuteronomy 15 says, well, then you take that person and take them to the post of the door and take their earlobe and with an awl, just drive a hole there and put an earring right into their ear and they will become a slave forever. It's interesting when a person loves their master that much that that's written into the word. You can see the address that's being here, that we can become once again masters to our own bondage of sin or even of ourself. But God says he's looking in our word and in our own life saying, wouldn't it be great as we look once again, we really have the Lord that we love to serve and to give our lives as well. One of the things that's addressed in Colossians chapter 3, Would you find Colossians chapter 3? Let's go to the right of Romans there. You'll see 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, Scripture is bringing up the fact about what we see and keeping our mind focused on things above. Because we realize we're passing through here. Look at verse 1. I'm in Colossians 3, 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Sounds similar to Romans chapter 6. Listen, there's been a transformation. We recognize, too, Scripture says that all of creation is groaning for the reality of the sons and daughters of God to come into that fruition. There's something that God has brought you into. You've been raised with Christ. There's things that are currently waiting for you in the heavenlies, but there are things even now that we are being exposed to. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. When we look here for a moment, one of the things when the Scripture starts coming along, we realize that, man, there's elements here on this planet that can draw a Christian back. When we look here in the world, Word of God is saying, keep your focus on things above, not on things on the earth. Have you ever heard that term? You're so basically heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, actually, when we are so earthly minded, we are neither heavenly good nor earthly good, because we're so focused on ourself, so focused on things of what pertain to us. If you are actually heavenly minded, you are both heavenly good and earthly good. It's those who are focused on those things that God has for us, who we are, those are the generous ones. Those are the ones that give. Those are the ones that serve. So you can see to be focused on things above causes that individual to actually be good for both heaven as well as to earth. So as all creation's groaning for us to step into those areas, it's important to recognize, be careful what draws us back into slavery. In verse 5 of Colossians 3, it's interesting because a series of synonyms that are brought in there, he starts basically with sex as a stimulus. That's what he's addressing here. He's seeing here, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, mentioning how to be careful about those things, because anybody that uses sexual aspects outside the covenant relationship between a man and a woman, marriage for the sake of procreation, recognize how that those elements of sexual stimulus can cause a person to never really be satisfied. Things that don't satisfy cause a person to keep coming back, keep coming back. Then he uses the term covetousness, which is idolatry. When a person keeps coming back to something that draws their attention away from God, you can see where the Scripture says, then that is idolatry. So when we look here, the importance of who we want to master our lives and to enjoy the Lord. So letter A, the freedom doesn't come from sin. That will only enslave a person. And letter B, freedom doesn't come from self. That will only deceive the person. So being careful about that. Sometimes we just need to kind of learn from the obvious. Isn't it true? Learn that little story about the individual that came to work one day with bandages on both ears, heavy gauze on both ears, and his buddy said, man, dude, what happened to you? He said, well, I was at home ironing my shirt, getting ready for work, and the phone rang, and I accidentally lifted up the iron to answer the phone. He said, oh, you're kidding me. How silly is that? What happened to the other ear? And he said, well, I was in such pain, I was hurting so badly, I realized I got to call the paramedics. Sometimes we just have to learn from the obvious. How many mistakes sometimes do we need to recognize that, wow, I need to be careful not to go in that direction? The pain and the anguish that sets things in motion. When Number two on our notes, what have we been set free for? To become slaves of God and righteousness. The law, in verse 14, back at Romans chapter 6, that the law does not set us free. It actually enslaves us. That the law actually communicates that there is sin in the area. Looking at verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And that element of how the law demands obedience. If you've ever just made that pledge, I'll always be there. I will always do right. Sometimes we even aim it at each other. You always do this to me. You always say, no, we don't, but it's always the always. And how the law always will just be a taskmaster. But aren't we grateful for the grace of God? How that God comes along and sets us free. Letter A, how the freedom comes from the Son. He's the only one that really redeems us. So therefore, when we take a look at those patterns in our lives, that we say, Lord, I don't want to continue to go back into that area. Those things that keep drawing me back, wow, to serve the Lord fully and completely, it's very important to say, Lord, thank you. I no longer have to do those things. He comes and sets us free. Because we recognize we fail, oftentimes those areas of failure would come. And when those failures hit, we just know that the Lord is there to be gracious once again, to forgive us. And it's just even healthy sometimes to know that we fail. Isn't that true? Matter of fact, even try that. Why don't you turn to somebody near you and just say, I just got to tell you, I fail sometimes. Go ahead and just let them know that. I fail sometimes. Yeah. Feels good, doesn't it? Yeah, some of you wives are thanking me right now. It's okay. Yeah, just turn back to the person and say, I know that. I forgive you before you do it. Yeah, no problem. But when we do fail, it'll cause us to want to quit. Sometimes that same element, that just failure and a collapse, would cause us to say, I don't want to try anymore. And those things then will start to separate us. We realize, I want to serve the Lord. He's really the one that has set me free. Why would we want to, or any one of us, want to go back to those things that cause us to go into bondage or despair? So as I welcome our worship team up, freedom comes from the Son. He's the only one that can set us free. We recognize, too, letter B, Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And there's an element that comes with that freedom. See, in verse 20 and 21, 22 of Romans 6, there is that contrast of choice. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in all these things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and everlasting life. Well, we want to enjoy some communion. In a moment, how that the Lord once again just frees us to just serve Him and to love Him. What a great way to have a life that just is engaged with God. Since we have those times where we fail, everything we do makes and comes about by reasons of choice. You make a choice to get involved with the church. You make a choice to go to that discipleship class. You make that choice to get involved with that life group. It's choices that you make. When we look here, we can choose to that sin that leads to death, but say, Lord, I don't want to go in that direction. That choice of going back to that old pattern that God set us free from, I like the fact He just sets us free. And how wonderful and fulfilling it is to walk in a life knowing that God, who loves us, continues to set us free. So don't let those desires, be careful. Those old desires pull you back. Watch out how the world, sometimes so strong in your life or my life, where we say, man, the pull of the world is so great, I'm just going to surrender that over. Don't do it. Just keep coming to the Lord and watch how He'll set you free. And be careful about those habits, keeping clear of those habits, those things that God set us free from. It's a beautiful day when God comes and just sanctifies, sets us free. That element of just saying, Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. We want to be obedient to you. Well, I'm going to just invite you. We're going to serve you communion right now. And those who are here to assist in serving communion, would you join me up front? If this is your first time at Hope Chapel, we welcome you to have communion with us. The qualifier is just having Jesus as your Savior and Lord. If at any time, though, you're just feeling, wow, I'm wanting to experience the Lord in a fresh way, maybe those of you who are watching via live stream, get a hold of something, whether that's a piece of food of some area or maybe something like a beverage, and let's just take that moment to recall what God has done for us on the cross. We're going to serve you communion. Please hold that portion. I'll be back and give some direction while we have communion together.
I will kneel in the dust at the foot of the cross where mercy paid for me. Where the wrath I deserve, it is gone, it is past, your blood has healed me.
We'll sing that again.
I will kneel in the dust at the foot of the cross where mercy paid for me. Where the wrath I deserve, it is gone, it is past, your blood has hid in me. The cup and the bread we will break, remembering your love. We were fallen from grace, but you took all our shame and nailed it to a cross. Mercy.
Let's wait on the Lord just for those things. First of all, what a great meal we're having, like a Thanksgiving meal. And can't promise you seconds, but it sure is a good place to give thanks to the Lord. The beauty of just being forgiven, the beauty of being set free. And just take a moment now to just hear the voice of God for yourself. And as you do, maybe that word is for you. Maybe as we invite you, maybe to give that as a gift of prophecy, that would bring encouragement for all of us. Let's just hear from God first. Enjoy Him.
I think God would like to just say to everyone here this morning that He loves you. He loves you so very, very much that He went to the cross for you.
Praise God. Thank you. Okay.
This is from Psalms 34. He says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will be darkened in their face. And my desperation, I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angels of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Yes, the Lord just shows me that as we take communion, that he wants to warm our hearts with it, that as we take it, it will be breaking up any hardness or problems that we tend to carry. So take it in joy, and he wants to warm our hearts.
Praise God. Wait on the Lord. So want you to be able to hear from him. Next step would be, is that that's just so good, I want to just share that or pray that prayer of gratitude. I'm going to invite you, if you wouldn't mind, to just separate your wafer from your cup. You've had communion with us before, you are aware of that. We invite you, who are our guests, thank you for being here to have communion. That aspect of just having Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're giving testimony to that right now by having these elements. Once again, we're going to take a look at this wafer. Jesus was the one that told us in his word, this is my body given for you. Therefore, we're believing for healing. We're anticipating even now, primarily the healing between us and God, the healing between us and other people. Isn't it great? The great commandments, love God with everything you have. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. Sometimes that area of releasing forgiveness just brings healing to our own physical, emotional well-being. You just take a moment now, just closing your eyes. Lord, we just want to thank you. Snap that wafer with me. Let's go ahead and participate together. The cup, Jesus reminded us how that this cup symbolizes my blood shed for you. It's really where you enter into that covenant. We are people of the covenant. How God wants to just remind us of his promises for you. It is not according to our abilities to maintain that quality of perfection, since we don't live in a perfect world. We are not perfect people. One day we'll arrive there. But isn't it nice, once again, how much and how often we need forgiveness? And that's offered right now. Complete, pure forgiveness. Just to allow the Holy Spirit just to bring things to our mind, not carrying those areas of our failures. And I would encourage you, not carrying the failures of others around as well. Same way God forgave you, you forgive others. So as we close our eyes just for a moment, thanking the Lord, as well as just saying, Lord, thank you for washing me clean of my sins, of my failure. Watch how the Holy Spirit sometimes even brings up others who have offended you way in your past. You say, Lord, I forgive them. Same way you've forgiven me, I forgive them. So, Lord, we thank you. 1 John 1:9, if we're confess our sins to you. You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's go ahead and have that juice together. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. get a chance, would you join me and stand to your feet? We're going to sing that song of gratitude to the Lord. You may see a basket come by. Please feel free to deposit your cups right into that basket. Thank you, worship team.
May I never lose the wonder.
May I never lose the wonder. Oh, the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. May I never lose the wonder. Oh, the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. May I never lose the wonder, oh, the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah, hallelujah.
One more time.
May I never lose the wonder, oh, the wonder of your mercy. May I see your hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's worship the Lord. We thank and praise you, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you have given for us. Thank you for your blood that poured down that we were able to share in this morning. Thank you for the broken body of our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for healing. We thank you for wholeness that comes through what you do, Lord. We thank you, God. You're so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Help us never to forget what you have accomplished through your blood, through your work on the cross. Thank you, Lord. May I never lose.
May I never lose a wonder, oh, the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. May I never lose the wonder, oh, the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.
Well, friends, this morning, want to take the opportunity. Let's just close our eyes once again. Let's believe for a miracle for you. Let's believe that miracle would be if you have any form of sickness in your body, if there's anything of a hang-up, bondage, let's believe for that breakthrough. Let's do that right now. And matter of fact, I would encourage you, if you've been injured by somebody, there's been something of a hurt, you may want to put and apply your hand to your heart, wherever there is an element, and we're going to believe for that miracle. We're going to believe for that breakthrough. We believe right now for that miracle to take place for you. And why would that take place for you? Because of Jesus on the cross. Because of the power of the resurrection. So you don't have to try to go out and perform something or do your penance. Jesus has accomplished that for you. Because of your faith, which is elevated and confident because of this taking communion. So Lord, as I just speak on all of our behalf, Lord, we welcome you. We welcome you to touch human bodies. We welcome you, Lord, to touch human emotion. We thank you, Lord, for the removal of sin that has tried to separate us from you. Those things be removed in the name of Jesus. We come specifically to the point of pain, where that pain continues to just gnaw and harm. Pain go in the name of Jesus. Areas that are growths that we just know should not be there, we command cancer, stop it, get out, and do not come again. Those areas where we just feel our heart is not where it needs to be, where we have heart ailments, and an inability to breathe properly, be gone in the name of Jesus. We thank you for good solid footing, great abilities to walk on our feet, no discomforts, no areas of deformities. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for solid joints, no arthritis. Lord, no arthritis. That in the name of Jesus, arthritis be removed. Those areas of chronic pain in the joints where we think only a replacement will take place, we speak Jesus in the name of Jesus. Be new. Lord, we thank you for abilities to see clearly, an ability to have good eyesight. That, Lord, we come against those things that cause us to be fearful of diminished abilities. Those cataracts be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the cross. Holy Spirit, you know what needs to be removed. Lord, thank you for allowing us to have our faith exercised and say those areas of skin conditions, scalps, be healed in the name of Jesus. Psoriasis, get out. Get out in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, we thank you for opening our ears to those people that would be fearful. Oh, it's flu season. Nope, no flu in the name of Jesus. We're going to just walk in divine health. And, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, how you're continuing to just set us free from fear. Fear that I won't say anything. People might consider me foolish, dumb, just out of place. Those areas of that spirit of fear, get out in the name of Jesus. We will share our life with others. Those that are feeling that we cannot help somebody discover Christ, that lying spirit be removed in Jesus' name. That those who would even say, well, we've breathed some bad stuff in the air, those things called asbestos, command that lying spirit, get out. Our life belongs to God. So, Lord, you're going to move in a great way. Lord, we want to thank you as well for patience, an ability to be patient with people, especially when having to care for either the elderly or those that keep calling us up for help once again. Lord, a divine ability to be patient, to hear how the Holy Spirit's working with them. So, Lord, thank you for your grace over the interaction. And that love be renewed, love for people, and a love for an ability to say, I'm honored to serve. I'm grateful to help. And Lord, we want to just also just declare your financial abundance for people. For those that are on limited income, Lord, thank you for those unusual gifts that would come in. That in the name of Jesus, they would see this month of November being one of the greatest fulfillment, almost as if that cornucopia is overflowing. Same for those that are in places of work and responsibilities that are saying, wow, this is when work slows down. But Lord, we're asking good paying customers and repeated customers. That Lord, in the name of Jesus, those plans that have been set in motion, Lord, you will bring a tremendous resource. Lord, we're believing too that, Lord, where there would be debt, we talked about being a slave, being servant to the lender. That, Lord, we thank you for wisdom to activate, to get out of those areas. And that, Lord, when you bring that abundance, Lord, we'll understand what it is to take care of and be good stewards of the richness of your grace. And that debt be gone. Debt be gone. We don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but we're believing you will do it. And that we will not be traumatized when request for generosity abounds. Lord, you are our supplier. So, Lord, we want to thank you that, Lord, now we just speak your peace. Just speak your peace. Jesus, you're the one that says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, Lord, for those with sleeping conditions, they're going to have the best rest, that they are going to sleep soundly. no traumatizing terror, no disruption of bumps that go in the middle of the night. Lord, a perfect rest, sound sleep, and a refreshment that comes, an ability to sleep good. Lord, breathing during rest, good breaths, consistent breathing. Lord, we thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And just to affirm that, if there's anything else that I did not call or I did call, just go ahead and put your hand right on that location. Just, Lord, I thank you. I'm believing that even now there's a healing for me. That's important. That's important. Say, I take hold of that, and I'm believing that. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who are watching as well, live stream, in the name of Jesus, what a privilege. Again, what a privilege because of what he's done for us on the cross. What a great God. Can we thank him together? Would you put your hands together? We just, Lord, we honor you. We thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to invite you, if you don't mind, at this time, just to please be seated. Rest yourself. I'm going to welcome Pastor Audrey.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.